Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you personally for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. Please tune in each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have a very extensive website, ladies and gentlemen, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio program and MP3 files under the radio tab. There's another tab there called Special Studies. And under that tab, there is a section that says Bible videos. These are 30 minutes in length, and they're over a number of subjects, and you can take a look at them and let us know what you think. They're part of our TV program that we used to run when we had the ability here locally, but now we just put those videos online, and they're listed there in alphabetical order, and we encourage you to take a look at them. You can download them or just watch them. And let us know if we can help you in any way. We also want to invite you to our times of Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. And we want you to know that the only thing we want to do is to share the gospel with you, show your need for God in your life and to His Son, Jesus Christ. If we can help you in any way in your spiritual walk with God, please do not hesitate to call upon us. We have been studying for the last few months the writings of Peter. We are now in 1 Peter chapter 3, and last week we discussed verses 8 through 13, and this morning we're going to discuss verses 14 through 17. So if you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to turn them to that. 1 Peter chapter 3, I'll begin reading in verse number 14. It says, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when you are defamed you as an evildoer, those who revile your good conduct may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Now, in this text, we're going to discuss suffering for doing good. The condition is, but even if we should suffer for righteousness' sake, it says in verse 14 that we are blessed. Even if we suffer for righteousness' sake, we are blessed. It's a good thing. Let's read some scripture together. In 1 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12, the scripture says, "Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, not may, not could, but will." If we live for God, we're going to suffer persecution. In Luke chapter 9 and in verse 23, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, "Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." We can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that the Apostle Paul suffered greatly. Let's read for just a moment the great things that the Apostle Paul suffered. Beginning in chapter 11, verse 23. "Are we ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labor, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prison, more frequently. In death, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings, often. In perils in waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils of the cities. In perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides all these other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for the churches." Now, when you look at that, is Paul complaining about all the things that he did? No. He's just stating that as a faithful apostle, in doing the will of God, he suffered greatly in the physical realm. But he was not downtrodden. He accepted that because he knew he was doing God's will. The Apostle John told the saints in Revelation 2 and verse 10 that if they be faithful unto death, they will receive a crown of life. And he told the saints of Asia they were fellow partakers with him in the kingdom and in its suffering. Why? Why do we suffer for doing right? Why do we suffer when we try to help people? Notice in John 3, verse 18, it says, verse 19, and in this is condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does truth comes to the light, and that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. We need to understand the world loves darkness and will not come to the light. And they're going to hate anyone that exposes them to the light, that shows that their actions are evil and their actions are in darkness. And so that should not come as a surprise to us. Now, in verse number 14, it tells us that we should not be troubled by their threats. We should not worry. We should not get downtrodden. We should not worry. We should not get downtrodden when we get discouraged. They're going to threaten us, but they cannot harm us and the reward that we have with God. What is to be our response? Look at verse 15. We are to respond. Peter calls on the Christians under this condition to fear not, but that their fear use it to sanctify the Lord in their hearts and to be ready to give a defense of the hope that lies with us with Christ. Hope, the best defense in living in the goodness, is the hope of heaven. It explains why a man walks in righteousness. Why do we endure such things? Well, in 1 Peter 1, we want to go back to 1 Peter 1 for just a moment and read verse 3 through 5. Blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Notice, ready to be revealed in the last day. We need to understand that we have a hope in Christ. We have much to look forward to. Meekness. We are to answer with meekness and with reverence, not with a self-righteous attitude, not with being ugly, and not with being haughty. We are to answer with love. In Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 2, the Bible tells us that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Notice in this context, we are to treat people with meekness and fear. Ladies and gentlemen, we are to understand that we're in a higher position. We're in a better position. We are in the right position. When we do right, when we do honorably, when we do that which God called them on us to do, then we are where God wants us to be. And no matter how we are treated, we know that what we're doing is right and it's going to be blessed by God. Go back to Matthew 5 and we'll read again verse 10. Blessed are those who persecute you for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It should not come to us as any strange thing that we're going to be persecuted. Did they persecute the fathers in the patriarchal period of time? Yes. Did they persecute the prophets during the Mosaic period? Yes. Did they persecute the apostles and disciples of Christ? Yes. And did they persecute our Lord? Yes. And if we strive to live like him, if we try to follow his teaching, if we strive to be like him, they're going to persecute us. But we should not let that get us down. Look at verse 16. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. You see, we're going to make them ashamed. Do not resist evil men with violence. Shame them who revile you by a good conscience. of sincerity of mind. Show them that you're bigger than them. Show them that your conduct, you're not going to get down to their level. You're not going to succumb to try to give to them what they're giving to us. We need to put them to shame. And when we treat them with good, remember Romans 12:21, we heap coals of fire over their head. Why? We overcome evil with good. That's how you overcome evil. You do it by doing right. You do that by living honorably. You do that by treating people with respect and dignity. God says that's the best way. That's the sure way to overcome evil and to live righteously. And then we look in verse number 17. For it is better. It is the will of God to suffer for doing good than to doing evil. Think how much better it is for suffer for being right than for doing evil. When we suffer for doing wrong, we deserve that suffering. We deserve it because our conduct, we have received it because of our lack of faith and because of our rebellion to God. And when we do evil, we're going to be rewarded by the conduct for those who do evil things. And so that is only right. But when we suffer for doing honorably, for we do right, for we do faithfully, we stand to strive by God's standard. We live by His standard, by His dictate, by His instruction. And we suffer for doing that, we ought to rejoice. We ought to be happy because we know we're doing what's right. We're doing what's the honorable thing. And that our reward will be great in heaven. God sees and God approves. And God is blessed and He is thankful that we have chosen to do things His way instead of man's way. You see, we are going to be persecuted. We are going to have difficulty in this life, but we should never allow that to defeat us. We never should allow that to cause us to change our course and to pursue a course that will lead us in a way that's contrary to our Father. We cannot do evil when evil is done to us. In Matthew 7, verse 12, it says to do good unto others as you would have them do unto you. We're to do others as we would have them do unto us. We don't want people to do evil to us, so we should never do evil to them. Now, we can't keep people from mistreating us. We can't keep people from doing evil to us. And we can't keep people from misusing us. But, ladies and gentlemen, we do have the capacity and we do have the choice in how we will respond. Will we respond in like? Will we respond and render evil for evil? Will we respond by doing that which is contrary to God's will? It does not demonstrate meekness and fear. That does not demonstrate the hope that we have in Christ. Or are we going to try to render evil for evil? That doesn't work. Unfortunately, too many people have learned the hard way that you can't treat evil with evil and win. God says that when we suffer for doing good, there is great reward in heaven. When we do it God's way, we know that that's the right way, that's the honorable way, that's the just way, and that will be best for us here, but more importantly, it will give us reward in heaven with Him in the after while. What about it, dear listener? Are you more willing to try to get even or try to overcome good evil with good? We hope that you'll take God's route, that you will suffer for doing good, and know that God takes note, and He's pleased, and you will be rewarded in the after while. Thank you.